Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, John Jastrzemski of SNY will join us. We'll go over Major League Baseball, the pennant races, thoughts on the deadline. Haven't been on in a while to discuss that. We'll get his thoughts on some NFL bets as we're getting closer and closer. One game in the books, at least in the preseason, an exciting game at that is Arizona and Carolina played a barn burner with Carolina winning 33-30 on the last play of the game. So hopefully that is a preview of things to come in terms of an excitement level of an NFL season, but haven't been on in a while, and good to be back. Was in Vegas last week, so recorded that show with Brad beforehand and was off Friday, and good to be back. It was good to be in Vegas and just, you know, see people that, you know, you only know through Twitter or shows. I watch Kyle Kerms and Joe Pita and Vinny Maliulo, and just go down the line, all a bunch of people, Patrick Everson, people that, you know, you only know through Twitter, Doug Kazarian, Sammy P, Jeff, all the Bear Bets guys, to just meet him in real life. And that was a good time. So that was fun. It's good to be back, though. A little bit cooler weather here on the East Coast, and react to a deadline. I haven't been able to get my thoughts on this podcast about the deadline. I love what the Cubs did. I really thought with a good defense, a good infield defense, getting some guys that can keep the ball on the ground. Kevin Gausman from the Blue Jays, Clay Holmes from the Mets. He's coming off an injury and he pitched poorly on Saturday. But Zephyr Hahn, the reliever from the Angels, Braxton Garrett, I mean, they really revamped their pitching staff. Peterson, they got a month or so ago from the Mets. So they get 2/5 of the Mets starting rotation from before the year to show you how things are going for the Mets. I thought the Cubs really revitalized their pitching staff. And I think, I don't know if they can catch Milwaukee. 5.5 out entering play Sunday. And, you know, they are playing Milwaukee 7 times between now and September 9th. Is that enough? Can they go? They probably have to go 5-2. Anything more than that's asking a lot. It's hard to go, you know, 6-1, 7-0 versus another good team. But could you go 5-2, make up 3 games, and all of a sudden you only have to make up 2 games elsewhere? It's possible. I think the Cubs, though, if they get in, and you got to maybe deal with that best 2 out of 3 if you're not a division winner, or if you're the 3 seed, you know, 3 through 6 play in that best 2 out of 3, which is very dangerous. But if you get through that, man, they are about as dangerous as anyone outside of the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have really struggled recently. They might be in a situation where they have to play the best 2 out of 3, and they look a little old. The bullpen's beat up. On one hand, they go through this every year. The Dodgers, they had a 7-game losing streak last year, which I don't even remember, but I saw that stat. So on one hand, Diaz doesn't look the same. Kyle Tucker hasn't been what they hoped for and paid for. Betts is older. The bullpen has been shaky. There's been a lot of issues. On the other hand, is it midseason malaise? Is it the fact that they're missing guys? They're going to get Snell back. Do you think they're going to get Glasnow back? Ohtani threw a bullpen. They got Scooble. They can move some of these guys like Sasaki to the bullpen. If I had to go, and this is not profound or anything, if I had to go Dodgers versus the field to win it all, I would go with the field. I'm not sure they get back to the World Series, but now, this is one you're going to probably feel dumb either way, whether you pick the Dodgers or pick against them. If you really pick against them, you say, man, why'd I overthink it? They've got so much more talent than everyone else. But if they don't make it, you say, man, I should have seen it coming. There were signs, there were cracks in the armor here, and there was some age, and they were just due to get bounced. So Dodgers are a team. They're not in any threat to lose the division in the National League. The divisions are pretty much spoken for, unless you think Milwaukee's going to make a run. Atlanta entering play Sunday up to 9 in the loss column, and Philly's got to be careful. Philly might find themselves on the outside looking in of a playoff spot. Atlanta's probably going to win the East. Dodgers are going to win the West. Milwaukee probably wins the Central, but we'll see. I wouldn't put it past the Cubs to make that interesting. Cubs at 3-1 to win the division, probably not enough for me, but I get the idea. I prefer much more 16-1, 17-1 to win the whole thing. And these numbers have moved, but last week at Caesars, I was talking about on some of the shows I was doing from Vegas, Cubs over Red Sox was 100-1 at Caesars. Red Sox over Cubs in the World Series was 150-1. The Red Sox is hot as anything, and man, where did that come from? To go 32-46 in the first 78 games, and then to go, they lost Saturday, but 31-5 the next 36 games. So it took 78 wins to get to 32 wins, and then it took 36 games basically to get the next 32 wins. Just a bizarre trajectory for the Red Sox. But man, and I don't know if they're going to catch the Rays at some point, you know, still 5-6 out in the loss column, and at some point you're going to cool off and lose some games. But could the Red Sox, could a Red Sox-Cubs World Series, again, you're talking triple digits at either one of those exactas. And obviously, if you play, you could play a little on both of them. You could play one of them. and just hedge if it ever got there. And those numbers have moved to more like the 80, 90 to one range. I still don't think it's a bad bet, but I love what the Cubs did. Red Sox are red hot. And in the American League, I guess the Rays are just going to hang on and win this division. 5 in the loss column ahead of the Yankees entering play Sunday. Still no sign of Judge. I do like kind of the feel of the Yankees here with Lombard being called up, Spencer Jones, Garcia Jr. and Ramos added the deadline. It's a better team than it was 10 days ago, just in terms of the bats and in terms of just having a little youth, a little life in that offense. Would have preferred a reliever. That bullpen I still don't trust in a big spot, even though Bednar's been good. I think you could always use another reliever, and the Yankees certainly could use another reliever. The Central's interesting where, man, I can't remember a team or a division where this deep into the season, you have four teams that are still in the mix, all within four games of the loss column, including Detroit, who sold off Scooble, who sold off Mize, but are only four out in the loss column entering play on Sunday. And they've played pretty well the last couple weeks. You know, it's funny, if they played this well the final week heading into the deadline, I know they played well that weekend, but that final week, they lost a bunch of games. They lost two to Kansas City. They lost some games to Baltimore, including being up 7-0 in a game where Scooble was on the mound. Maybe they don't trade Scooble. And maybe they would have traded him anyway, but maybe they wouldn't have traded him. But it's interesting that they're right there. I mean, then Minnesota and Cleveland, all with 60 losses, the White Sox with 56. Big win for the White Sox on Saturday. They had lost four in a row. They were trailing 2-0 in the sixth, about to lose five in a row with a young team, a team that, I mean, remember before the year, 65.5, 66 wins. This was not supposed to be a good team by any stretch. You just keep waiting for that other shoe to drop. And having lost four in a row, about to lose maybe five in a row, you wonder if this was going to spiral for the White Sox. But they win that game on Saturday. We'll see if that can kind of steady them as they enter play with a four-game lead in the loss column on Sunday. But they've got three teams kind of right on their heels there in the Central. Tigers are plus 600 if you think they can do it. I don't mind that, Ben. I really don't. But I think you're going to have, let's just call the Rays the winner in the East. Either way, I think you're getting three teams from the AL East. The Central, I'll put in Chicago. Don't feel great about it, but I'll put in Chicago. I'll say they hold on. The West, who knows? And the Astros around even money. Texas plus 150 and Seattle plus 230. Boy, Texas had a weird season. 2 weeks ago, they're beating up on Seattle. They go into first place. They look like they're in good shape. The next week, they get swept by Houston. Houston's in first shape, and Texas tries to sell. Texas tries to trade DeGrom to Atlanta at the deadline. DeGrom says, no, I'm not going anywhere. I got a no-trade clause. I'm using it. I'm staying here. And then they played well the final week, and they're right there for first place. So good luck trying to figure out the West. Good luck trying to figure out Texas. I'll say Texas wins the division. I picked them before the year, but I don't know how you feel good about any of those teams. I still wouldn't count out Seattle, although Seattle is just, I haven't liked that team all year, but I still don't think you can count them out because a good week, a good 4 or 5 days, and you're right back in it. But let's just say the playoffs right now, three from the AL East, Tampa, the Yankees, the Red Sox, we'll say the White Sox, and I'll say Texas. And then the wild card, it is really messy for that final spot because Texas right now holds the final wild card spot, being chased, and they have 58 losses. Entering play Sunday, chased by Minnesota, Cleveland, Detroit, Baltimore, and Seattle with 62. I mean, you got five teams all within four losses, and then Toronto even with 62 losses. Six games under, but only 3.5 out. You draw a line there. Kansas City, Athletics, and the Angels have all been eliminated, but all, for intents and purposes, have been eliminated. Other than that, you basically have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams for that final spot, for that final wild card spot, with, again, some of these teams competing for the Central, some of these teams competing for the West, and the leftovers competing for that final wild card. So I know once it's football and then the NL, I think you put the three division winners, we'll just call it Milwaukee, Atlanta, and the Dodgers. Even if Milwaukee doesn't win the division, the Cubs catch them, they'll still get in. So we'll call the Cubs a fourth team. I think you've got four set, and then you've got Arizona and Philly holding the final spot with 56 losses entering play. And then San Diego with 57, Miami 59, St. Louis 59. Pittsburgh is done, I think, unfortunately, at 61. They've just had some bad losses. I don't like that manager, even though I picked him for manager of the year because I thought the story was there. They do some dumb things on the bases. The challenges are a mess. They are frustrating team to watch. They lose some stupid games in some stupid ways. I think they're done. Washington at 58-61, I think they're done. Since he's four games under, I think they're done. I don't think Miami or St. Louis makes it. I think it's three teams for two spots. I think it's Arizona, Philly, San Diego. I think one of those teams gets eliminated, two get the final wild card spots, and one's out. I mean, I guess you can't count out Miami and St. Louis because they're only three out, but I'd be pretty surprised if either one of those teams got in. I think it's realistically three teams for two spots. I keep waiting for, if there's anybody out of this bunch, I would say the Pirates can get Skeens on track, but he has not been himself. He's just always given up three or four runs now every start. The velocity's down. And he'll look good. He'll make you think he's on track. He'll go into the fourth scoreless, and then he'll just have a blow-up inning. He has not been himself. That would be the one team I would hope can make a run, but they're five in the loss column out, and Skeens hasn't looked like Skeens, and they have not played well. So probably realistic, you're looking at Arizona and Philly, San Diego, three teams, two spots here for the final spot, or final couple spots. But I like what the Yankees did. I love it. I actually say B minus, C plus. I like Garcia. Wish they got another bullpen arm. I thought that the Cubs did was impressive. I like what Cleveland did. Cleveland, it hasn't manifested, though. They got, you know, some reinforcements at the deadline. They got a little offense, which they needed. They got Foster Griffin, the pitcher from the Nationals, Adele, the bat from the Angels. But, swept by the Mets, and then they split the first two here with the White Sox. So not sure that there's a great bet there in the Central, but that is a fun race between four teams. Somehow Minnesota, Detroit, Cleveland, and with the White Sox. Just a weird kind of funky race. But that's what you're going to get when you got a first-place team that's only four games over. It's going to bring these other teams back in the mix. And same thing in the West where, you know, Houston's only two games over and they're holding on to first place. So a weird American League. Really, I think you make a case of three best teams in the American League all in the AL East. And very possible you have a rematch of last year's best two out of three Yankees and Red Sox. Very possible, if not likely, that you see that, and that would be a fun series because the Red Sox have played well. Red Sox, I think last year maybe a little ahead of schedule. This year would be very dangerous after the summer they've had. Yankees with their pitching, we'll see where that series is, which could be big because you don't want to go to Fenway. If you're the Yankees, you want that at home. And remember, that's not a series that switches venues. That's, you know what, the home team, the higher seed gets all three games at home. All three, if necessary, best two out of three. And how the Yankees would align their pitching with, you know, Fried's the more established veteran, but Schlitler's been the best pitcher. Cole's in the mix. How you line up Schlitler, Cole, Fried would be interesting too. But I know once people turn their attention to football, it's all football all the time, but baseball will be fun here with these races and into the playoffs. And before we get to JJ, I don't talk a lot of WNBA on here, and why would I? I don't watch it. I don't bet it. What a disaster. What a disgrace that sport is. How about what happened on Saturday? If you got Caitlin Clark falling out of bounds, throwing a pass, accidentally, completely an accident. I mean, you can tell she's just falling out of bounds and the ref makes no attempt to move out of the way and then tees her up afterwards and takes a minute to tee her up and says, you know what, I'm going to give you a tactical for that. One of the more absurd things I've ever seen, how that ref should be reprimanded because you're either so biased against Clark to make that call or you're so incompetent that you deserve to be reprimanded. Either way, it's a bad look. You're either biased to the point where you shouldn't be a ref, or you're completely incompetent. To give a technical on that is one of the more ridiculous things you're ever going to see. And then you have the whole nonsense with Carrington basically trying to beat Cunningham and tweeting afterwards. And then the Fever coach defending Carrington, you know, not defending her player, saying, you know what, she's not trying to just prevent a layup. I'm going to defend the opposing player who gets a flagrant two and gets ejected. You can't make it up. That league is such a joke, such an absolute mess. Oh my goodness. I can't believe that ref gave the technical and all the nonsense with Carrington and then the Fever coach. I mean, what a train wreck that sport is. Oh my goodness. I wish that league would just go away. What an embarrassment on so many different levels the WNBA is. But somebody who's not an embarrassment, JJ, John Jastrzebski, will join us here. We'll do some football. We'll do some baseball. Coming back next, should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. You can catch him Sunday mornings with me, VSiN Weekend Morning Line, SNY, a bunch of places. It is John Jastrzebski. JJ, long time no see, man. Thanks for coming on.
Well, my pleasure. It's always an honor to be on Shoulda Bet More. Hopefully, I'm going to come out guns a-blazing, ready for this football season, and away we go here, dude.
We'll start with baseball. The Yankees, your thoughts on the deadline, what grade would you give them? I like Garcia. I thought it was a good bat. Reminds me a little bit. Had a little Robbie Cano in him, the swing, the swagger. Probably not as good as Cano. Cano was a borderline Hall of Fame bat, but would have liked another reliever. Obviously, would have liked a catcher. I think Cashman probably looked at it and said, you know what, if I don't get Judge back, then none of this matters. But a grade, a thought or two here on the Yankees deadline was what?
Okay, I give the Yankees a C. And I love the Garcia and the Ramos pickups because Ramos helps them against lefties. Garcia, it's a weird fit because of the position, but power, contact, good clubhouse guy, like really, really good moves. I don't know how they didn't add a catcher to compliment Austin Wells. I think that's inexcusable. And I didn't even want Rutschman. I thought the cost for Rutschman was a joke. If the Yankees gave that up for Allie Rutschman, I would have lost my mind. So I'm glad that they were not in that business. But I also would have preferred a bullpen arm. Now, there is a case to be made that when Carlos Rodon comes back, either Weathers or Warren goes to the pen, you get Schmidt in there, and those are your bullpen arms. That could work out. The problem is, Will, these games right now count, and I feel like they are an arm short in the bullpen. And for the next two and a half weeks, it could end up being problematic. So I gave Cashman a harsh grade here. I gave him a C.
AL East winner is who? The Rays have kept everyone at bay here. They are, you know, we start play on Sunday, good five games clear of everyone. Then you have the Yankees and the Red Sox coming in hot, charging with just a furious rally that came out of nowhere. Is there a bet to be made here if I gave you the odds? Rays minus 170, Yankees plus 255, Red Sox plus 475. Anyone you bet and who you ultimately think wins?
I think Tampa's winning the division. I do. They continue to keep winning games. They had Freddy Peralta to their rotation. I know he was awful in his first start against the Rockies, but, you know, Camiero, Yandy Diaz, guys you've never heard of, they produce. And I don't know if I love Tampa in the playoffs because I don't know if I trust their lineup in the playoffs, but I think they have enough of a cushion. I don't see them falling apart here. I think Tampa holds on, wins the division.
Let's build out the rest of the AL playoffs. Who's your central winner?
Chicago White Sox.
They're even money. Guardians plus 250. Twins 5-1. Tigers 6-1. Man, I can't remember.
Tigers are not crazy. Like, if somebody's going to win it other than Chicago, I actually like Detroit the best at those numbers.
But you're going to pencil in. If we're building our six, you're going Rays to win the East, White Sox to win the Central. Where would you go in the West? Astros are plus 110, Rangers are plus 145, and Mariners are plus 400.
I hate all these teams. I hate all of them. Houston. Okay. Because they're playing the best. They have pedigree. Houston.
So we have Houston, the Rays, and we have the White Sox. We'll probably pencil in the Yankees. We'll probably pencil in the Red Sox, and not impossible you get a rematch of that 4-5 matchup from last year. Last year was at Yankee Stadium. I think home field would matter in that series. You don't want to go to Fenway for the Yankees, although they've had some success there, but that's not a place you necessarily want to go to the wild card. And you might be in a situation where this is just a whole bunch of teams for one spot. I think there's similar there in the National League. But right now, Texas, who again, none of us like, 59-58, holding off Minnesota, Cleveland, Detroit, Baltimore, Seattle, and Toronto, all within four in the loss column. You probably draw a line there. Anyone you like? Anyone you'd pick?
No, I don't like any of these teams, but somebody has to go.
Yes.
I think Baltimore and Detroit are the teams you circle.
I would agree. You can't trust Baltimore.
Every time, man. I almost gave him out today. We did him as a best bet. I almost gave him out as a best bet, and I'm like, no, I've gotten burned by the Orioles way too often. Show me.
The National League, before we get into the six teams, your level of concern for the Dodgers would be what? They haven't played well. They lost seven in a row. Very lucky to survive. I mean, they were up 1-0 going into the ninth, but man, they were man on third, nobody out for Arizona. It would have been an 8-game losing streak. Is this just typical summer blues, kind of lethargic injuries? They'll get people back and be fine, or is there some real concern here with the age and the bullpen here of L.A.?
There's concern, but not much. I'd put it at 2 out of 10. They do this every year in the regular season. And I feel like they're now a team. They, offensively speaking and just collectively, they can flip the switch. And my guess is, wow, that was crazy. How about that? A triple sneeze, showing you my dismissive nature of anyone being concerned about the Dodgers. They have the pedigree that just October rolls around, they'll find a way. So I want to make this point crystal clear with them. They will get knocked off if they're going to get knocked off before the World Series. If the team that's won back-to-back is 4 wins away from winning a World Series, I do not see them being denied.
Let's do the same thing. Well, it's a little more clear-cut in the National League. Braves probably going to win that division. Philly has not played well. We'll say Milwaukee's going to win, although I'll give the Cubs a shot, and whoever doesn't win gets in. But we'll go Brewers, Braves, Dodgers. We probably have our division winners, I would think, although, again, I'd give the Cubs a shot, and I'll put the Cubs in. Then you have, for the final two spots, Arizona and Philly have 56 losses. The Padres have 57. Miami and St. Louis have 59. Pittsburgh has fallen off. I don't think Washington's getting in. Would you say it's four teams for two spots? Arizona, Philly, San Diego, Miami, and who ultimately gets those two spots? Is it status quo? Is it something else?
Gotta imagine the Phillies find a win in the playoffs. I don't like San Diego, but they did add to the team. I would go Arizona.
Okay.
I do not like the Marlins. The Marlins have just really fallen off. They were 10 over 500 at one point. No, I don't love the vibe with that team. I'll say Philly and Arizona, your last two teams.
Who's in the World Series?
Man. Dodgers, definitely. I'll say Dodgers, Yankees.
All right. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, a lot of it, and I guess, you know, we talked about the Yankees. I didn't ask this, but, and it's hard to know. Do you think Judge is coming back? I mean, yes. When he says, hey, I'm coming back.
I do. I don't think he's bullshitting. Yeah, I think he's coming back. But the question is, are you getting 60% of Aaron Judge coming back?
Yeah. September.
Still helps.
1st, 15th, somewhere in between.
How about this for a take, Will? The winner of the Yankee-Red Sox wildcard series goes to the World Series.
Okay. I could buy it.
I think they go. One thing with the Yankees, though. I want everybody to keep this in mind. It would contradict what I just gave out. They have never gone to the World Series as a wildcard team. Ever. Just remember that.
That's a good point. It's a good point, and it speaks to, you know, when they're dominant, they go. When they kind of sneak in as a wild card, they don't. I think they were the first ever wild card back in 95. That was a heartbreak.
That is correct.
Man, that was a heartbreak.
Mattingly, Seattle, Kingdom. Ugh,
big leads, just Jack McDowell. Oh, man, horrible. Absolutely horrible loss, but it was followed by some better years. Anything else baseball, any other trade deadline takeaways, teams you thought really killed it, teams you were surprised by, anything else you think is worth mentioning from the deadline?
It's kind of a weird deadline. No, I guess if there was a takeaway, there were a couple of teams that I thought might sell that didn't. The Tigers did sell. San Diego got hot and then said, all right, we're adding Casey Mize. Texas tried to trade DeGrom to the Braves. I would say if there is a surprise for me, Will, I am surprised the Braves did not add a starter in any way.
It sounds like they tried. Sounds like they tried to get DeGrom, and DeGrom said, you know what, I'm not going anywhere. Forget about it.
Which is weird because you would think, hey, Southern boy, you want to be in Atlanta, but yeah. He's set up in Texas. He's happy. Okay.
And they've had a weird year, too, because it was just a couple weeks ago. They're beating up on Seattle. They look like they're in good shape to win the division. Then they play horribly. The next week, get swept in Houston. Looks like there may be sellers. I mean, they were, you know, they basically kind of waved the white flag, said, hey, let's just move off the DeGrom contract. Then they played well in the last week. So good luck figuring out Texas. Let's move on to football. How many wins for the Jets? How many wins for the Giants?
The Giant number is so spot on. I'm going to say the Giants is 7-10 this year. A competitive 7-10. Like, I think they will be in contention for a wild card spot going into December, and I think they'll fall off. That's my read on their season. They'll look better under Coach Harbaugh. There are a lot of questions, though. How the defense replaces Dexter Lawrence? What Dart is able to do jumping from year one to year two? Neighbors, how effective can he be? There's just too many questions for me to say, yes, year one, right out of the gate, Harbaugh hits the ground running and makes the postseason. But I think the baseline of competitiveness will be significantly improved within the Giants, and I think there'll be a fun, entertaining watch throughout the year. I think the Jets, despite some of the improvements on the roster, are going to be dreadful. I think they're 4-13. I think Jets stink.
Before we get to some teams you like, who picks first in the draft in 2027?
Arizona Cardinals.
I would agree.
Chalk answer. But yeah. You're in a division that has
it's a nightmare.
Six basic losses staring you in the face. That's tough to overcome. I'll say the Arizona Cardinals go and get Arch Manning Jr. next year.
And even if you think, and you can make the case, last year they weren't as bad as their record because they were 2-0. They dropped the pass. They could have put them at 3-0. Then they lost a bunch of close games, and then they just got hurt and were downright off in the last month, six weeks of the season. That being said, they could be okay, and they could just get swallowed up by that schedule. I actually like them under 4.5 wins, even though you got to pay a little juice quite a bit. It's going to be hard for them to get to 5 wins with that schedule. What's your strongest take? I think you're a believer in the Saints. Is that the one, like, hey, best bet, one bet I got to have for my life here? The thing I feel the strongest about is the Saints going over their win total. I know their schedule, kind of the opposite of Arizona, where they're that's a weak schedule. Is New Orleans, is that your most confident football take?
So I like the Saints a lot. I think they are going to win the NFC South. I'm a leader of the Tyler Shook bandwagon, so hop on board if you haven't already. I wouldn't say it's my strongest take, though, because I'm going to look at that division and I'm going to find a team that I don't like and circle them. I think Tampa this year blows it up. I think there are teams, Will, where you like kind of reach that point of no return. I think we're there with the Buccaneers. Evans is gone. Age on the roster, on the defense. Then you throw in the fact that Baker Mayfield, I don't care if he was hurt, he stunk in the second half of the year. I don't like the head coach. I think this is where it's like, whoa, the Bucs go like 6-11, and it's like new coach, new quarterback, reset. It's time to blow it up. I think that's my strongest take going into the year. It's going to be a down year for Tampa Bay.
You and I both like the Cowboys. It's been almost 3 decades since they've played, not just won a Super Bowl, not made a Super Bowl, an NFC title game. Pretty much everyone in the league has made an NFC title game since, just about. Is this the year the Cowboys get back to a conference title game?
I don't know if I'd say that. I will say the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. That I'll say. I'm more than willing to plant the flag on that. I think their defense will be much improved. Downs, Quinn Williams, offense, one of the best offense in the NFL a season ago. I'm very bullish on Dallas as a regular season team. I need to see it in January before I'm proclaiming in August they're going to the conference championship. I'm not that confident.
What awards bets have you made so far?
I haven't made any, actually.
Okay.
I haven't made any, but we were talking about on the show earlier, I like Jamar Chase to go and win Offensive Player of the Year. Actually, I gave you some fake news there. I made one MVP bet. Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Dak Prescott. The other one that I actually, and you know I don't like him. I don't like him at all. I think Herbert for MVP is worth the sprinkle, too. If the Chargers go and have a huge year.
I did it last year.
Well, here's the problem. The issue is the division is really good. So there's no guarantees they're going to go and put up that gaudy record. And if McDaniel comes in and it's like the running game is the big talking point. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, the Chargers have figured out this dynamic running game to put with Justin Herbert. That could take away from like the MVP case. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I went down that road last year. I thought the narrative was there, but the offensive line was just so banged up. And Slater was hurt before the year, and then all, I think, got hurt. During the year, came back, and I think got hurt again, if I'm remembering that right.
Yeah, all got hurt. Yeah. The other one that I would think about, and listen, I know they're a polarizing team. They're always a trendy team. Cincinnati has a big year. I could see Burrow getting a legitimate MVP case.
I just got to see him stay healthy. I don't know about the defense. I don't know about the coach, but I get it. I'm amazed.
Coach
how
has
many
gotten
people
to a Super Bowl. Listen, I don't want me either.
I know.
He has gotten a team to the Super Bowl in multiple playoff appearances, but it's been a while. It's been a while.
I'm amazed how many people love that team, though, are just willing to forgive and forget the last few years. Maybe
last place, maybe but you right. know what it is? Not a last place schedule, but a third place schedule.
Yeah.
So a lot of wins. And I think a division, you know, where do we stand? I'm out on the Steelers, too. That's another plant the flag I'd give you.
Yeah.
The Steelers are going to have their first losing season of forever. It's happening this year.
Do you, I was making this point earlier or a couple days ago to somebody else. I can't remember a year, I guess I could, and there's a reason for it, where the Super Bowl champion has this little buzz. Nobody's talking about Seattle. I was saying, oh, all right, Darnold, it was a fluke. The Rams were better. Rams could have beaten them last year. And the team, I guess, the last Super Bowl champion without this much buzz, there was a reason when Denver won it and Manning retired. But, man, it seems like nobody is talking about Seattle. Do you agree with that? Do you think they're maybe flying under the radar, which is weird to say about a defending champion?
they're definitely flying under the radar. I'm sure Mike McDonald absolutely loves it. The reason, listen, I think they'll be a good team. Are they going to have the same health status on defense that they had last year? Like, I don't love their overall depth on offense. Like, JSN goes down. How do they survive that? They lose Kenneth Walker. I know he's a running back and it's not the end of the world and they have Charbonnet, but to me, Will, they had so many things go right for them a season ago that they're just probably poised to not have that happen again. They're in a tough division. They're in a tough conference. I think they're a playoff team, but I'd be stunned if they won back-to-back Super Bowls. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's just it's
too hard. Like,
I'm not picking them again. I'm not picking them either, but I do find it interesting that, man, it's just nobody seems to be discussing them. What if you had to pick a Super Bowl right now, you feel prepared? Are you going to give out an official Super Bowl pick?
I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared, but if I could, let me pull up the odds here. Let me pull up the odds, and I think this will help us. Wow. Oh, goodness. Part of me wants to say Baltimore, but I feel like Buffalo and Baltimore, it's like, wake me up when I actually go.
Yes.
Houston, I love, but is the quarterback going to be up to par? I'll say right now, and I reserve the right to change my mind on this, by the way. I'll say we have a rematch of the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Rams-Bengals.
Okay, and it's in Los Angeles again, right? So it that is. Would be the same venue, same team, same venue. That would be odd. I wonder if you've ever had that happen before.
No.
I doubt it.
I reserve the right to change my mind on this. But like the way to, I almost gave you Houston just now, and then I'm just like thinking back to the PTSD I had of watching CJ Stroud in New England.
That was terrible. That was tough. That was a tough day. Let's see what the odds are. Do you have a number on that? What that exact Super Bowl would pay?
I'll give you the exact. I mean, the Rams are 550 and the Bengals are 20-1. The exact has got to be really good.
Probably 100-1, something like that. Maybe a little light of that. But that's quite a.
Oh, here we go. Create a Super Bowl exacta. But they got to make you do. See, this is annoying. I'm on a site, and literally, if I have the Rams over the Bengals. Oh, because I picked both. Hold on. Forty-8-1.
Would probably like a little bit more, but.
Same here. Not enough. Because not only do I have to name the two teams, I have to name the winner and the loser on this. I'm sure I can find just a straight exact.
Oh, you have to name both? You can't just find...
I'm only on one site right now. I'm only on FanDuel. I'm sure I could fool around and find a different way to do this.
Yeah, that does not sound proper. I mean, that's one thing if they have to play each other, but when you have to actually get the number right. Well, I'm looking now. For some reason, I don't see Bengals
first. All
right,
so if I wanted to... this the championship game.
Because I'm seeing Bengals versus Seahawks is 78-1. So it's probably cheaper on the Rams because the Rams are
shorter.
So
to make the Super Bowl, if I go with No, I keep screwing this up. This is hilarious. Well, my fat fingers, Cincinnati makes the Super Bowl. Here we go. All right. So now we're gonna have the odds. +3543. Rams-Bengals.
Not enough.
I agree.
JJ, you're the man. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll do this again soon before football gets started. We're right there. Preseason full card coming up soon. And then before you know it, the real thing. But appreciate you joining us. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Done and done. New York, New York. Check it out. Multiple days a week. Spotify, Apple, YouTube. SOI. On a regular basis after Mets post games on the sports night. Bet Rivers Banter, myself and Sal Licata, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then, yes, with you on VSiN and whenever the schedule works for them and for me, you see me throughout the course of the week, too.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. I've seen a few more reviews coming in. Appreciate that. We will be back on Wednesday. Thanks to John Jastrzemski. Thanks for you guys listening. See you Wednesday.